We're recording. This is a new recorder, so we'll see how it works out. I guess the other one finally bit the dust, so there was no recording last week. So
it wasn't your fault, really? The new one,
well,
the black one?
Yeah, it's done. They said I can't use it anymore, so they gave me... This is the old one we used to use, I think. So, anyway, I don't know. Either way, so let's pray and we'll get going. I want to finish up this kind of little mini thing we've been doing. So let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I thank you for just your church. I thank you for the Passpoint class and just those who are diligent to want to know you and want to just be the hands and feet of you, Lord. I just pray as we look in today into just why we do the things that we do, and we look into the last goal of Passpoint as a whole, Lord, that there would be things that kind of stir us up and give us just some handles to walk out of here with, something that we can grab a hold of. I do pray that you would just speak through me today and that you would just bless your word. In Christ's name, amen. All right, so I'm going to do like a fast-forward review so we can get to this last point, because I want some discussion today. I want some input from you guys, because as I sat down to put this stuff together on this last goal, I was like, man, that's a... And I remember this question coming up when I was in HBI, and it's really hard to put a definition to, so we'll get to it. But as I sat down this morning, I'm like, that's really good. So anyway, the study we've been doing, and I'm finishing today, whether we're in here throughout the entire second service or what, I'm finishing today.
We have little
Oh, well, they're coming in here too then. So it's just kind of why we do what we do as Passpoint, right? Obviously, we want to serve God because we want to serve God. We want to have the right heart because we're told to, right? But at the end of the day, the answer is not Jesus, like our kids always tell us, right? There's got to be purpose behind what we do. So we call the Passpoint class Passpoint because we want to be past the point of no return for Christ, right? Most of you guys have caught some of this, so I'm just fast-forwarding through it. I'm not going to ask questions till we get... We want to be past the point of no return. We want to be like Peter was when Christ turns to Peter and the other disciples after most fell away, and he's like, will you also go away? And Peter's like, where else are we going to go? I'm paraphrasing this completely. He's like, you have the words of eternal life. We need to get to that point in our life where we couldn't turn back if we wanted to. Well, that isn't even an option anymore. So if that's not an option, then I want to do really well at this option. If you know anything about me, you know that when I do something, God bless my wife because she puts up with it, but when I do something, I go like at it 100 mile an hour, all out, and it's like, she was talking to the kids the other day, and I said something about we were going to take a break in between something, and she just, and they were like, so much for taking a break, and she said, if you haven't figured this out about your father, you know, remember when we were building the house, we were going to take a break, you know, and 5 months later, we lived in it, you know, and it's just, when I do something, that's just the way I go about it. I want to be the same way about following Christ. I want to be just what's next, and I just want to go and do, and I don't want to be the guy who sits back and I'm going to take a break for a minute. Well, no, because that, my luck, that'll be the day that Christ comes back and I'll be kicked back on the couch taking a break. That's not what I want to be, right? And that's not what I want the Passpoint class to be. So we want to be past the point of no return. So there's four goals, right? What was the first one?
Right,
we want to be an example to the believer. Now we're talking about to the believer, not to the lost world. We obviously want to be an example to the lost world, day in and day out. But we also want to hold ourselves to a higher standard as far as believers go. I want you guys to be examples to the other believers. I want people to see you in the hallways of the church. I want them to see you outside of the church and be like, man, what's different about you? I mean, we go to the same church, but why are you on fire? Why are you, right? We want to be an example to the other believers, right? Not because we want to put ourselves on a pedestal, but because we want to glorify God. And at the end of the day, that's what it's about. We want to be an example to the believer. It's 1 Timothy 4 is where the passage is. 4:12, and I'm just going to read the passage one time because I got a lot to say today. I've given you guys time to say everything you need to say, so it's my turn. not really. 1 Timothy 4:12 is where we find this passage that we as Passpoint hold, right? It says, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation, in charity and spirit, in faith and purity. In every one of those areas, we looked at this one day in depth, right? We want in every one of those areas to be an example to the believer. I'm not going to go through it all, right? And it says, till I come. That's something I noticed this morning when I was reading this again. I totally skipped over that when I was talking about this second point, right? It says, till I come. We're supposed to do these things, not just like, okay, I finally figured it out, now I'm going to move on to something else. We're supposed to do them every day. All the time, no matter what. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with laying on the hands of the presbytery. Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that the profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's the passage that we as Passpoint hold to, right? And I could have asked you guys a month ago and you wouldn't have known that. I'm just guessing, because I didn't really even know for sure. I mean, I knew that there were goals, and I kind of went over them, but I want this to be something that we hold to, that we refer back to, that we hold each other accountable to. So we want to be an example to the believer in all those areas. So that's the first goal. What's the second goal? We want to be established in the Word of God. That's one of the reasons that we are reading through the Bible, right? I want to give you guys something tangible to hold on to. I want you to read every day. And if you don't want to stick with this reading plan, that's fine. Be in the Word of God, though. And this is just something that we as a class can do together to hold each other accountable, right? So we have to be established in the Word of God. And I think that's where it says, till I come. It doesn't mean once you read through the Bible, once you're good. No, you're supposed to do this all the time, right? I've been saved for 11 years, 12 years, something like that. And that's not very long. And I've read through the Bible several times, and I guarantee there's a million things in there that I have no clue about, right? We were talking about a wave offering this morning. I'm like, I don't know, maybe it's like a flag, I don't know, or a flag if you ask Tom Ford, right? It just cracked me up the way he used to say flag. It was a flag, right? Or a wagon.
Or a crick.
Yeah, so anyway. I love Tom. So anyway, but we're supposed to do these things all the time, right? That's what we're called to do. So the second goal, to be established in the Word of God, right? So last week we looked at the third goal, which was what?
Exercise your spiritual gifts.
So we're going to go through this list because I need to get to where I'm going. So what was the list of spiritual gifts? So let me ask you this. Did anybody do any of the homework from the week prior or this last week? All right, so the week prior, you were supposed to get on the website and read the Our Beliefs stuff, right? To know why we believe what we believe. Did anybody do that?
Yeah, I got it printed out, right?
Awesome. That's good. Okay, and then so last week I told you to... Or maybe I didn't directly tell you to, but I wanted you to, after we looked at the list of spiritual gifts, where do you fit in? Where did you find yourself spiritually? Not where you wanted to be, but where did you find yourself kind of on the list of the spiritual gifts that are given to the church, right? Well, I didn't really tell you that, but I kind of thought we might do that. I don't know. So anyway. It's really hard to pick one for yourself. It's easy to go to somebody else and be like, you've got this gift. Or you've got this. But it's hard to look at yourself. So here's the list. These are the active gifts that are you see in the church today. Now, we're not talking about the sign gifts that were at the beginning of the book of Acts, right? We don't speak in tongues, right? We don't do that, right? So come and ask me why, and I'll tell you some other time. We don't have time right now. So the first one, prophecy, right? And that was like preachers, right? Somebody like that. Somebody who it is their job to speak the Word of God. We think of prophets as somebody who gets a word from God and gives it to them like in the Old Testament. No, a prophet is someone who just expounds the Word of God. More so than just teaching it, but to like large groups of people. That is what a prophet does. Whether they want to hear it or not, they proclaim the Word. So the first one is prophecy. The second one is ministry, right? Somebody who just serves their butt off no matter what. It is a spiritual gift. They can't even not do it if they wanted to, because that's just the way they are. They are just a servant, right? Somebody who, and it's not talking about ministry in the church, but it's ministry as a whole. You are a minister to Christ. You will do anything for anybody no matter what. It is just a spiritual gift that God has given you, right? Most likely there are more people with this gift than any other gift. Because at the end of the day, you need more servants than you do anything else. People that just want to serve, that want to go and do. I would tell you to go back and listen to last week, but I guess the recording was really bad. So ask somebody else. I don't have time to review it all. But the third one, teaching. That's the third spiritual gift, right? There are some that are just gifted in teaching the Word of God. Now, these are different than prophets, because teaching can be simply sitting across your kitchen table with somebody, right? Or a small group study or somebody like that. Somebody that is gifted in getting in the Word of God and teaching it to somebody else. Very simply or very... So a prophet must have this gift as well, because he has to be able to teach to be able to get up and proclaim the word. The next one, exhortation. Right? So people who are just really good at exhorting other people to do what maybe they don't see inside themselves. Right? Somebody who just has that gift of exhorting people, to encourage people, to come alongside them. Right? That's a spiritual gift. The next one, giving. Right? So some people just have the spiritual gift of giving. Right? And that doesn't mean... Well, it could mean, but it doesn't mean tithing, right? Now, somebody who has the spiritual gift of giving, they don't struggle with tithing. That's just, that comes with it. But the gift of giving is somebody that would just, they would give you the shirt off their back because they see that you need it. No matter what it is, yeah, you can have it. It's no big deal. These people with this gift, they understand more so than anyone else that it's God's in the first place, so why do I care, right? It was God gave it to me, so if He gave it to me, I'll give it to you, and He'll give me a new one, right? If He sees fit. So the gift of giving. The other one, next one, leadership, or we call it administration, right? Somebody who is just really good at administering things. You'd be like, it takes a spiritual gift to do that. It takes a spiritual gift to lead people godly. It's one thing to be able to lead people, right? To a structure in place and to make it happen. To lead people godly, it takes a spiritual gift, right? So that's one. And then the last one is mercy. So someone who is just can come alongside, can comfort, can just minister, right? Not so much ministry as a whole, but just show mercy. To show mercy and compassion on people, right? I think of somebody like Steve Fleshman, right, with the Life Issues Ministry, or Jim Stovall, or people like that come to my mind when I think of... Yeah, there should be people that pop into your mind when you think of each of these gifts, and right? Because the body needs all of these. So those are kind of the spiritual gifts that we see in the church today. So fast forward through all of that to today, because we got to keep going. So here's the fourth goal. And I think this may be the hardest to quantify, but the most important for us to do. Right? And so you could read this and be like, well, that's really general. But I really want to try to pinpoint this today. So here's the fourth goal. And I want to walk out of here today with things that we can do tangibly to be doing this. So to be engaged in the mission. Right? To be engaged in the mission. And you might be like, okay, well, yeah, I'm engaged. I want to be engaged in the mission. Sounds good. Sign me up, coach. Right? And, you know, I want to be enlisted. But then it's like, what does that mean? Right? How often do you see teens? They're like, yeah, sign me up. I want to be enlisted. And then they get there and they're like, this is not what I thought it was going to be. Right? Yeah. Stop screaming at me. Right? To be engaged in the mission. So I was sitting down this morning, and I remember going through a class called Missions in HBI, right? And I don't go back to my... It was actually ironic, because I was talking to somebody yesterday about my HBI notes, and I'm like, I can only think of three or four times in the years that I've been out that I've actually went and referenced these things. Because I keep them, because I think... I've always told myself I'll go back and reference them. I went back this morning, and it was just ironic because I was early this morning to reference, because I was like, I want to put the definition that Randy gave us for mission in here, and I couldn't just think of it. So when I say to be engaged in the mission, what does that mean to you? What does that mean? What is mission? What is mission? Right? I'm not missions, but what is mission? Okay, this is where we're going to need feedback, or we're going to go really long. Operation, right? I think Mission Impossible, right? It is the what we're trying to get done, right? Anybody got anything else? Huh?
Objective.
Yeah. Okay. So when I say that we need to be engaged in the mission, you know, what is that? How do you quantify that in the church? So is mission the same thing that we call missions with an S?
Missions is part of a mission.
Part of
missions is going somewhere, doing something.
That's kind of how we think of it, is going and doing, right? And so I'm just trying to get the ball rolling here, right? And then I'll circle back around. So if that's what we're calling mission or missions, can the mission of God, can it change over time? The overall mission, can it change over time? No? Some people are like, I want to say no, but I don't want to be the guy who's like, no. So I'm just like more of an Indian head bob going on than anything. Right? No? Okay.
It can, but it don't. The mission can. I mean, if God wanted to change the mission, he could.
I've never really thought about it that way, but it makes sense.
It's complete, but I don't think it'll be complete.
Right. I'd say when the mission is complete would be where it talks about in Romans when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, which would be the day that we're raptured out of here. So at that point, right? So should the mission change due to location? Should the mission change due to location?
No.
Right?
I'm
just asking. I'm going to give you the definition in a minute, but I want to know what you guys think.
No. But your strategy on how to accomplish the mission might change.
The mission is universal. Missions are individual.
That's a good way to put it. Here's the last question. Can the mission be accomplished outside the church?
Church is the institution that God put in place to accomplish this. It should be a lot
easier
if you would define mission.
I'm getting ready to, and then we're going to go back to the list. But right, so I can't go outside and minister to people.
Well, wait, are you talking about church other than the building?
I don't know. Am I?
No.
What'd you have?
This is just kind of how I look at it. So if you look at, obviously, from a military standpoint, you have the mission that is at hand, you have all the units that work together to accomplish that mission. But there are outside people working on that mission who aren't necessarily part of the church, part of the military, they're contractors. They still do things that affect the grand scheme of things, but they're not doing it the way it should be done.
Right. People can, in their flesh, try to accomplish the mission, do good things. But at the end of the day, it takes God inside of you to get the mission done, right? Here's the definition that Randy Foster gave us when we were in, and there was a lot of sub-definitions, but this is like the definition that I got. And this is, like, I had it in my head, but I wanted it, and I was able to find it. I'm like, that's exactly what I was looking for. So this is the definition of God's mission. When you think of mission, right, because we want to be accomplishing the mission of God, right? It is God's desire to restore His own image in lost man by means of salvation.
You're going to need to say that again.
Okay. You're going to need to say that again. It is God's desire to restore His own image in lost man by means of salvation. Did you get it that time? God's desire to restore His own image in lost man by means of salvation. God's will is twofold. If you're lost, He wants you to be saved. That's all there is to it. And if you're saved, He wants you to be sanctified.
So are you saying mission is synonymous with His will?
I think, no. God's mission is for people to be saved, right? And I think once you get saved, it transforms, it morphs into His will. We'll talk about that in a second. Actually, I have a point about that. So go back over the list of questions, right? So we know that He wants to restore His own image in lost man, and there's only one way to do that, for them to get saved, right? So can the mission change over time? No. God wants people to be saved. At the end of the day, we are striving for a number. It's called the fullness of the Gentiles. We don't know what that number is. We compare it to what will be replenishing the third of the angels that fell with Lucifer, right? But when the fullness of the Gentiles comes in, talks about it in Romans, that's when we are raptured, right? There is a short amount of time. Might be today. Might be 10 years from now. It could be whatever that means, right? Now, if you look at things that are going on in, you know, world politics and just in the world in general, you see that things are kind of lining up, but we can talk about that at a different time. So the mission doesn't change. God wants us to reveal Himself to lost people and for them to get saved, no matter what, right? So should the mission change due to location? Absolutely not, right? I can go halfway around the world, and it's still, I need to find some way to get my English into whatever language they speak and get them the gospel so they can get saved. God wants to restore His perfect image in their lost body, right, by means of salvation. That is what the goal is. That is what we strive to do. Now, like Paige said before, the way we go about that, it looks different around the world, right? Church doesn't look like this in India. Church doesn't look like this in China, right? But it doesn't change. The way we go about it is a little different, but we're still striving to do the same thing. Can the mission be accomplished outside the church, right? And Candace asked the question, what was I talking about? Because, you know, you can get caught in this, right? Are we talking about the building? Are we talking about the church as a body? I'm talking about the church as a body, right? Absolutely not. God has instituted the church for this sole purpose, to do what He's asked us to do, right? That's what it's about.
This question, can it be done without the church? Or is it, can it be done else?
Good, people can do good things. You could go rogue and say, you know what, I don't want to be associated with any church, right? And you can go share the gospel with people, but at the end of the day, the gospel is designed for people to be instituted in a local New Testament church, right? Because that's where they thrive, that's where they learn, that's where they grow, that's where they, you know, any of those things, that's where you disciple up young believers. So you can go out and say, I don't want nothing to do with the church, that's fine, but at the end of the day, you're outside of the will of God, because He uses the local New Testament church to grow up believers, to train up believers, so that they can be sent out. So,
even in that, if you're a true biblical born again believer, you can't remove yourself from the church.
Exactly. So, where are we at? So, as past point, what about us? I got less than 15 minutes. What about us? Our fourth goal is to be engaged in the mission. What does that look like here? Right? What does that look like?
Discipleship.
That's like the biggest one, right? Most people don't want to say that, but it is. That's where we're going, right? We and when I say we, I'm talking about the church, but I'm also talking about us, right? Because at the end of the day, we need to evaluate us. We don't need to evaluate the church or the church as a whole. We need to look at us and what can we do? Because at the end of the day, we can say in America, Christians aren't getting it done. Well, you're right, they're not. What are you going to do about it? It starts here. It starts right here. We are the conduit, right? We are what God is using, by which God is going. I skipped a word here. We are the conduit by which God is going to do what He desires to do, right? God wants to get it done, and He's going to use us. He's going to use the church. That's just what He does, right? So, okay, He wants to use us. What does that mean? Okay, you know, put me in, coach. I'm signing me up, but what does it look like? Right? At the end of the day, I can say we need to be a part of the mission. You're like, okay, yeah, I want to be. What does that look like? What does that mean? Right? I'm getting there. To put it in the simplest words possible, we have to go and tell people about Christ. I mean, just to dumb it down as much as I can, you got to go tell people about Christ. It starts there. Now, there's other ways of going about this. You do life with people, but it starts and ends with you got to tell people about Christ. Now going and telling people, that's where the term missionary comes from. That's where it comes in. Because we aren't supposed to just tell the guy down the street, but we're also at the same time supposed to be telling the guy halfway around the world. And it's like, that's where Acts 1:8 comes in, right? And you guys know the verse. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost. So you're supposed to be witnesses here and down the street in the next state. Oh, and by the way, around the world. All at the same time. And you're like, well, that's asking a lot. Well, you're right, it is. Take it up with God if you don't like it. That's just what He said. This is where things like mission trips come in, right? I'm not saying that every one of you needs to sell your house and go to Zimbabwe or wherever else and be a missionary. That's not what needs to happen. But He may call you to do that. So, but that's where mission trips come in, right? Mission trips change your life. I'll just put it as plain as I can simply. Getting outside of your zone where you have zero control of what's going on, they change your life. And I could give you testimony after testimony. Ask Paige, I told a story yesterday where I like morphed three trips into one when I was telling the story in HBI and I didn't even know it. She was like, that was like two different trips in one. I'm like, okay, well, it's okay. Same thing. God was working, right? Yeah, so this is what, have you ever been on a mission trip? They change your life. Right? Get rid of the excuses why you can't go. Because a lot of people, when they hear mission trip, they immediately think, not me. Right? Can't do it. Can't afford it. Don't like planes. Don't like... I can go through the list of, I can't do it. And they just immediately, they check out. Right? That's BS. Right? I'll just call it what it is. I never once have signed myself up or my wife up for a trip and had the money to pay for it. Now, I'm not saying be irresponsible, but I'm saying when you know God's calling you to do something, don't limit what God can do. Because He's paid for every one of them. That's just the way it is, right? You don't like flying? Okay. There's other trips, right? There's different things you can do. Stop having the attitude, well, I can't do that, right? Because if God's inside of you, you can do it. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I love that verse, because if God's going to call you to do something, he's going to do it. That's just the way it is. Do you really think God's going to call you to do something just to see you fail in doing it? Right? Now, We typically don't do this with our kids, right? I don't want to set my kid up for failure. But then I'm like, well, sometimes I do with my boys. I'm like, I just want to... Right? Not horribly, but it's like... It's kind of funny to watch them trip and fall, right?
You're an evil dad.
God doesn't set us up for that, right? He wouldn't do that. Faithful is he that called you, who also will do it. So, get back to mission for a minute. I'm moving very quickly because I want to get done. Does God's mission go any further than salvation? Because it says that we're supposed to restore God's image in lost people.
Absolutely.
That's where it kind of morphs into God's will, right? His mission is to get people saved, right? Because at the end of the day, you could be the guy on the cross who gets saved seconds before you die. You're still going to be in heaven. But if you're still here, the mission morphs into His will. Right? We call it His will at that point. Now, if you want to still call it His mission, you can. But at the end of the day, we want people to be saved. And then we want people to be what we call sanctified. So what is God's plan for a Christian? You guys know that. It's we want to be more like Him every day. Right? I want to be a better Christian. I want to be more like Jesus today than I was yesterday, so I can do the same thing tomorrow. We call that sanctification, right? It's a big fancy S word, right? Sanctification. We want to be sanctified. We want to be set apart more every day to be like Christ. So how as a church, and you guys kind of hit on this before, but or even as a class, you know, let's dumb it down even more. How can we help facilitate that goal? Getting people more like Jesus every day. How can we do that? Let's make it tangible. How can we do that? Basically, it comes down to this: teaching the Word of God and discipleship. Right? You come alongside people, you teach them the Word of God. This is after they're saved, right? So evangelism's out of the question at this point, right? You come alongside them, you love on them. You teach them the Word of God the best way you know how, and you disciple them, right? Discipleship isn't just going through books, right? Discipleship is... The guy who discipled me was awesome, but I think I got as much of what we call discipleship from a guy named Tom Fort, who never sat down with a lesson with me. But he taught me how to live life as a Christian, how to do ministry, how to do those things, right? And I'm not taking anything away from the guy who discipled me, because I needed to know the doctrine as well, but discipleship goes past those books. You can't check that off and be like, okay, I'm done. No, it's not that at all. It's learning how to live life as a Christian. So let's circle back around for a minute, because I want to make this... I want you guys to know what I'm saying, right? I want you to pick up what I'm throwing down when you walk out of here, right? God's mission is for us to be the hands and feet of getting the lost world the gospel, right? That is what God wants us to do. We call that evangelism. That's the big... Evangelism, right? I was going to write it down out of time. Evangelism, right? This is what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to get people saved. Get people the gospel so God can save them. We don't get people saved. Evangelism. Is this in any particular location? No. Here, there, over there, around the world, any of it. We're supposed to be doing it, right? It's everywhere all the time. So then God then wants to use us to help the new believer grow. So you've got evangelism. Then you've got teaching and preaching. You're like, I'm not a preacher. Okay, well, you're supposed to be a teacher. Right? And you got discipleship. Those are the three things that we have to be doing. You want to be accomplishing the mission, the fourth goal of Passpoint, you need to be evangelizing, you need to be teaching the Word of God, and you need to be discipling people. No, well, I can't do that. Well, why? Well, I haven't been through discipleship. Okay, do that. Well, I haven't been through how to disciple. Well, do that. Well, I haven't done this. I'm not qualified. Do whatever it is that's holding you back so you can do what God has called you to do. We have to be evangelizing, we have to be teaching, and we have to be discipling. It just boils down to that. If we're not doing that, then we're not getting the mission of God done. Plain and simple. You're just playing church. I'll call it what it is. So, 1 Timothy 4:16, it says, to take heed unto thyself, right? You want to do these things without me wanting to do them for you, right? That's what the verse is. So do it because you want to do it. It says, add unto the doctrine. Do you know your Bible well enough to teach it, to share it, to disciple somebody? If not, get in it. It says, continue in these things. If you're already doing them, good, keep doing them. If you're not doing it, well, you can't continue to do something until you start. Right? Get into it. Start doing it. Continue in these things. It says, And them that hear thee. The lost world is not going to get saved unless somebody tells them, right? Romans 10:14 says, how are they going to hear without a preacher? They're not going to get saved. They're not going to get saved unless somebody tells them. Right? It's just the way it works. The gospel means good news. Did anybody in here get saved without somebody telling them the gospel? Whether it be a guy up on the stage preaching or somebody sitting down and actually sharing it with them. Somebody had to share the gospel with you for you to understand it enough to get saved. So how do you expect your lost family or your friends at work or anything else to get saved without you telling them? It is what it is, guys. It is what it is. All right, so I'm going to wrap it up. I was really striving to get to here because this is where we kind of put handles on this thing. Some practical things that we can do to make sure that we're in the best position to be used by God, right? We want to be accomplishing God's mission, right? That's what the goal is. So what can we do, right? So I got four things. First, and some of these things are things you can do, and some of them are things that you kind of do inside yourself. First, ask yourself this question. Is there anything, and I mean anything at all, that's keeping me from being in the best position possible to be involved in the mission of God? Is there anything that's hindering me at all from being able to accomplish the mission? Now, you know what the mission is now, so is there anything that's hindering you? Is it a sin issue? Is it a pride issue? Well, that's still a sin issue, but I'm just... is it a submission issue? Well, that's still a sin issue, but we'll call it a submission issue, right? It all goes back to sin, guys. Is it a complacency issue? Well, I'm just good. I think things are fine, right? Well, okay. Your family's dying and going to hell. The world's dying and going to hell, and you're just complacent about it. Is there anything that's hindering you from being in the best position possible to be accomplishing God's mission, right? Because if there's something in the way, the other three things aren't going to matter. Is there anything that's hindering you? Second, I'm moving quickly. What are some things that we as a class can do, individually or corporately, to be more involved in the mission, right? Think about that. I was going to have you guys give me some things, but we're out of time, right? What can we as a class be doing to be more involved in the mission? Right? We can do a lot of things. We can, and we should be doing more things, right? But at the end of the day, it goes back to those three things. Are we evangelizing? Well, no, I'm busy when they do take it to the streets. Okay, well, that's between you and God. right? That's between me and God. Are we teaching? Are we discipling? Are we serving? Right? What can we as a class? Those are things that we need to be doing. We have to be doing. Third, right? And these are the two things that we can do like tangibly, right? That we can do, we can put handles on this thing, and if we really want to be accomplishing God. Third, let's agree right now to hold each other accountable for being more involved in the mission every day and not just on Sunday. Let's hold each other accountable. When I'm doing something or I'm complacent, call me out. Hey, what are you doing? And I'll do the same thing to you. I want to be held accountable, and I want you guys to be held accountable. And if that means I run everybody off, well then, all right. At the end of the day, I'm more concerned about doing what God wanted me to do, right? Start out with your class reading, right? Hold your spouse accountable, right? Because here's what generally happens. Are you caught up with your reading? No. Well, I'm not either, so, oh, that's okay. Well, it's okay, right? Instead, we tell each other, hold each other accountable. I'm not saying be a jerk about it. Well, you're not reading? Oh, well, I'm going to tell Jason, right? I don't care, right? But hold each other accountable. Hey, you know, this is what I read about today. I don't do a very good job of this, guys. But hold each other accountable. Start with that. Start with the reading that we're doing. You know, and if you're like, well, I'm not doing the reading. Okay, well, that's a submission issue at that point. Hold everybody accountable, because if I'm the only one who's pushing, then we're all destined to fail, I promise. Right? With anything. I'm going evangelizing because that's what we're doing, right? Well, I'm just busy. Okay, well, hold each other accountable. Right? We have to do that. If we are going to be doing the mission of God, then we have to start holding each other accountable. Because instead, we become complacent with each other. Oh, you're not? Well, yeah, I'm not either. So it's okay. Well, if you're not, then it's no big deal that I'm not, right? That's what we do. Instead, let's push each other to be more like Christ. Instead of saying, oh, well, you know, if you're not, then that's okay that I'm not. Whatever it is, right? Hold each other accountable. And here's the fourth one. And I really want you guys to think about this one and do this one, right? Because I was thinking about this morning. I'm like, I'm commit to doing something for God's mission that you've never done before in your Christian walk this year. Commit to doing something for God's mission that you've never done before. I still do the other things, right? Don't check out. That you've never done before. This year. And here's some examples. Go out evangelizing. Well, I hear people doing it all the time, but I've never done it. Go out and do it. Go on a mission trip. Holy smokes. Just do it. Right? Disciple somebody. Find an area you can start teaching the Word and do it. Right? Do something. And you might be the guy who's sitting there or the gal that's sitting there and it's like, well, I can't do that because, well, for whatever reason, right? Well, I haven't been discipled. Okay, well, then get discipled so you can do it, right? Or I can't do that because of this or because of that. Whatever the because of, just step up and take care of it, right? So you can accomplish God's mission, right? This is, of all the goals, this is like the most important one. It's the hardest to quantify, but it's the most important that we're doing. And instead, I think we become complacent. I become complacent. Commit to do something that you haven't done before. And then next year, do the same thing. We want to be more like Christ every day. I'm just asking you to do it once a year, right? Do something, right? And I know that there's not a lot of mission trips right now. I bet if everybody started going to Randy and being like, hey, are we doing any trips this year? Are we doing any trips this year? He gets about 45 people going asking him. He's going to think, well, there must be some interest. Maybe I ought to plan a couple trips, right? We need to be doing what God's told us to do, right? I want you guys to know why we do what we do as Passpoint. And this is why we do what we do, because God told us to. And that's what I want to be. I want to be a class that is so on fire for God that people are like, man, I want to be a part of that, or I don't want to be a part of that because it's too on fire. And that's fine. I don't want lukewarm people. I want people who are so on fire for God that they just want to get out and do something, right? So there it is. It was really quick, sorry. But do those things, guys. Decide to be what God really wants you to be, right? So let's pray and we'll get out of here. We'll get into some new stuff. coming up. So let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you for today. I pray that you just bless your word. I pray that you would just be glorified in the way that we live our lives, Lord. I pray that you would just stir us up to be more a part of your mission, Lord. So I do pray that you would just send us out this week as lights in a dark world, that you would be glorified in our lives. Give us opportunities to share the gospel. Give us opportunities to disciple. Give us opportunities to grow, Lord. So, Lord, just use us in any way you see fit. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.
I got a verse for you, you sinner.